Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 316 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strathers. And with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
Buddy, hey. Here we are. 316 episodes in. You know what the joke says. It only feels like an eternity. But there's all kinds of cool stuff going on. We've got, just for if this is your first time listening to the show, coming up, we've got a segment called Who Got What that used to be all about Star Wars collecting. But now it's about other stuff too, because we can't always get Star Wars stuff or fun stuff for that matter. Yeah. We're going to talk about nerdy stuff such as The Last of Us, video games, Star Wars TV, you name it. So there it is. And if you already are thinking, God, I can't get enough of this, because I know you are, you should go to patreon.com/thebadmotivators and check out the offerings there. For just a few measly bucks a month, you could be getting some sweet, sweet bonus content that Cruiser and I both put out on the regular. And very little of it's Star Wars. It's like bonus stuff, man. Music, movies, TV shows, and whatnot. Be sure to check it out. Patreon.com/thebadmotivators.
Also, if you haven't already, subscribe to our YouTube page. I don't know if we have that in the show notes, but we should put it in there, I guess.
Send it to me. Do we have the short link for it now?
I'm sure we do. I'll have to check. But anyways, yeah, we do. But we're putting out more content on there. We just started. I put out the instant reaction to the first episode of Mandalorian. We have our 300 full length episode. Our 300 episode is in the, on there in full length. Those are videos we have on there right now. But I'm going to be releasing reaction videos every week for the Mandalorian. And we'll see what else in the future. But we got more stuff we want to do too. That's going to end up landing there eventually as well. So just subscribe and check it out. And we appreciate it. That's for sure.
Listen, it's like a pyramid scheme. You need to get it on the ground floor for it to really pay off. So now's your chance.
Yeah. Get it while it costs you nothing.
Maybe you? Question mark. Anyhow, man, how's things, dude? You doing well?
I am. I'm doing all right. It's how it goes. I will say really quick, I have had quite a bit of outpouring of well wishes and helpful advice from several of our friends and listeners. And you know who you are, and I appreciate you. That's very nice. I'm not going to go into what you said because that's between me and you. But it was nice to hear people share their experiences and to say that we understand you. So that's cool.
So that's really cool, man. I'm glad. And speaking of outpouring, listen up, people. I've mentioned this before, and time's running short. I'm building a saber for our good friend, Hollis Burkhart, of the, what the hell's the name? Blue Harvest podcast and High Potion. And it's for his big birthday this month. And I'm just going to tell you, it's turning out pretty great.
Nice.
I say this about every lightsaber I build, but I think this might be the best one I've ever built. And it's because everyone is the best one I've ever built. It's really dope. And anyway, my whole point is if you would like to contribute financially to this project, it would be much appreciated. So probably only about $300 more to go before I've got the parts covered, right? Now here's the deal. This lightsaber's happening regardless. This isn't a Kickstarter, so it's going, it's on like Donkey Kong, and he knows all about it. Okay. Yeah. This isn't a surprise. I had to ask him to be sure that it was exactly what he wanted. Because for something like this, man, it's like buying somebody a pony. You know, hey, do you want a pony? Because ponies are dope, but not everybody's gonna say, hell yeah, pony. Sure. So he knows, and I wanted to make sure it had all the exact features that he would want in a lightsaber. Yeah. And it is an Obi-Wan Kenobi episode 4 hilt, weathered. Looks amazing. And it's turning out really good. I managed to sit down on last Friday, I was off work, Amanda wasn't, and I assembly lined a whole bunch of stuff. Because what I do whenever I build a build like this is I buy parts to do multiples. That way, because inevitably you're going to break something. You know what I mean? And that way, okay, I broke this. Well, here's the next one, and I'll use that, and then I'll only have to buy this one other thing to finish.
So many
this.
Tiny parts.
Yeah, and I mean, I flew through just soldering battery terminals and switches and all this stuff, and it's going to be dope, man, and I'm going to actually stream live on Twitch the assembly of said saber. I try to get a lot of like the subcomponents done so that it's not a bunch of agonizing watching me figure out how do I clamp this up. So now it's going to be more of just literally the building part of it where I assemble the goods and yeah.
The meat and potatoes of it. Yeah.
And if you want one of these sabers, people, listen, you could get one of your very, very own. Just hit me up. It's nothing that a few several hundred dollars can't fix. Because listen, this is how cool these things are. If you just want to know, I know you're probably thinking, man, I've been to Galaxy's Edge. They got lightsabers there. Shay. These hilts are $300 empty.
Yeah.
They look legit. They weigh a ton. And, you know, they're neat. Anyhow, that just an empty hilt, $300. So just imagine. Do the math, people. Do the math.
To do the math. I can attest they are quite awesome.
Yeah. These Kenobi hilts, man. The thin neck, and it's like all built out of like brass, the neck part of it, just like in the movies.
Yeah.
And
just like the movie.
Yeah. It's neat. Now, here's the one thing though, I will tell you about a thin neck lightsaber is you don't want to be banging around on stuff with it too much because that neck will snap. Yeah. It's imagine like it hitting somebody with an ostrich. You're holding it by the body, swinging it around. That's kind of what's happening. Anyway, enough of that. Well, you know what we should talk about, and that's what we're going to have to do is get Halsey Hawes on this show once he gets that dope lightsaber so he can talk about. Oh, yeah. Well, listen, man, I've already done my talking about who got what, because who got what was me, a bunch of saber parts, and they're quite a ways assembled. Cruiser, be the who and tell us the what.
Well, was it like back at last summer, I finally got an iPhone, right? Like after years and years and years of being using the Samsung phones, which I still love, I have nothing against them. But shortly after that, my headphones went out, my ear pods went out, whatever. And I was like, all right, well, I'll get the Apple ones. So of course I got the good ones, and those have been excellent ever since. And then after this little conundrum I had a couple of weeks ago, I was wanting to find something to like, you know, monitor my heart, help me with like some fitness goals and some stuff like that, like, you know, do the typical yuppie thing. And what it has done it has made me a little bit of a hypochondriac's the wrong word, a worry wart, I guess, because I'm always checking it now. But I got the Apple Watch, the Series 8, I think is what it's called. I didn't get they have a new one that's like, it's called like the Ultra or something like that. And that boy is chonky. I don't know if you've seen it, but it is huge. And it is I was considering it for a second, but they only sell it in the GPS cellular version. They don't sell it in the regular GPS version, which doesn't really matter. But the fact is, they charge you basically $100 more just because it can be a cellular device, which is pretty awesome. So, but I will say, I was considering going for a while for a lot of reasons, but like, it's just one of those things. But the way Apple has integrated all the features of the three things that I use, right? It's kind of crazy if you think about it, the way they all work together seamlessly and all that health, fitness, track, sleep stuff is kind of amazing. And I'm sure it's obviously probably not as accurate as like medical equipment, right? But it kind of gives you like a little baseline to kind of work from. And it's been a really cool it's been a good purchase. I got like $70 off at Best Buy. I was like, fuck yeah, give me that one for sure. Because I was like, do I get the premium one? I'm like, no. What are you doing? What are you doing? You don't know if you want this thing. Don't get the premium version of it. That's just how the mindset goes, right? It's like say we're buying computers, right? You're like, which extremely overpriced version of this MacBook do I want to buy?
Well, I'll have you know that I resisted the urge to get the M1 Max whenever I bought my MacBook, and I just got the M1 Pro.
Yeah.
Of course, then the M2 came out, and I'm like, dang.
Son of a bitch.
I guess I just need to throw this one in the trash.
Yeah, right in the trash
it goes. So I do totally feel what you're saying, man. That's cool.
It is cool. And it's kind of weird to get used to. Have you ever had an Apple Watch before?
No.
I'm guessing you're not much of an Apple Watch guy.
No.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Nah, I used to be, but like it's hard as hell to play guitar with one on. Mm. And I just, you know, it's nah.
Yeah. What I recently discovered is it's really hard to throw to play catch with my boy while I'm wearing it, and that bugs the shit out of me because it keeps pressing the side buttons and shit like the glove whenever it's like I'm holding it, it's like pushes. I'm like, God damn it. Can I turn it off? But that's what I got. What about you? Anything?
No. I mean, I did get some more parts for Sabres. Like, I'm working on kind of tweaking my kids' Sabres that I built for them several years ago.
I think you mentioned a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Just trying out a couple of other things. Like, I thought I had one solution, but now I'm going another way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's cool, man. Stella, she's like, whatever. Like, I get it. She's a 10-year-old girl, but...
You just can't with that girl, man.
Well, dude, you know.
Yeah, I know.
What are you going to do? I was at my kid's open house tonight. And first of all, there was a Star Wars book in one of the classrooms that I wanted to take out and spend some time reading. But the kids were like, let's go. It was in the one classroom. The guy who is, I can't remember the teacher's name, but runs the chess club.
Okay.
There, and this little school has never had a chess club before until this year, just recently, as a matter of fact, and went on to beat all five schools in the area in chess.
Hell yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that'll show
you. Get them.
Take it. Mm-hmm. Get it. But yeah,
break their glasses.
Cool. Yeah, I'll show you, nerds. One of the kids on the chess team, long hair.
Like, of course. Yep,
that kid's neat.
Yeah, that's right a cool there. Kid right there.
But so no, man, past that, nothing. Just, you know, everything just shows up a little too late. It's got this for Stella's bedtime stories. I've talked about this on the show from a production value standpoint. One of the things I wanted to get was this little lapel mic that for the cell phone, because I tried using like a... different style mics on her. It's just it takes away the organicness of it. Mm-hmm. So I just want to shoot it with my phone. She's sitting on her bed and the thing didn't show up until today. And I was recording one of her very last ones yesterday. It had to be yesterday. She's only got two more. So, the end of an era, 156 episodes of Stories with Stella. But yeah, anyhow, blobbity blah, blah. So listen, speaking of, I can't even with these kids. Let's talk about The Mandalorian.
Oh. And
I can't even with that kid.
Oh, man.
That's right. We had the season 3 debut of The Mandalorian this past week. And by the time you're listening to this episode, all 6 of you, you've probably already seen the next episode of The Mandalorian that we won't be talking about. But, you know, we're talking about the one that we've seen as of right now. Mm-hmm. And, man, I got to tell you, I expected the first episode of the season to be longer.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it said 38 minutes. The last 5 minutes are credits. When you see that runtime of 38 minutes, 5 minutes are credits. And but I mean, they packed a lot of stuff in there, but it felt like they were flying fast and loose and they probably could have stretched some of it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to tell you my initial takeaway of it.
Mm-hmm.
I love how Star Warsy it is.
Oh, yeah.
I was having a hard time, like, after watching Andor, thinking, man, maybe The Mandalorian isn't really as cool as I thought. Because look at Andor. I mean, it's a cinematic masterpiece as far as, like, the cinematography goes and all of that stuff. And then here comes The Mandalorian, and instantly I remembered why I was so in love with it. And everything, it looks better. I don't know what it is, but, like, from a production standpoint.
Dude, that opening scene, that was unreal.
It looks so good. And everything about it. I really liked it. So everybody by now has seen the episode and is super tired of it, but just my commentary on, like, the opening. They did such a good job of making you think it was a flashback. Mm-hmm. At first, you think, oh, man, the armorer's building the helmet for Grogu because it's a tiny helmet. And then, man, that's Din Djarin as a kid, and they're getting ready to put this helmet on him. And then this monster comes out, and they're fighting it. This is what I want to talk about. It looked really good.
Yeah.
Some of the shots they had, like the shot of the Mandalorian, of one of the Mandalorians flying up on his jetpack in the it was like a GoPro stuck on his head pointing down. Yeah. It looked amazing. It looked so real. The tactics that they used fighting this beast, completely stupid. It's like they're supposed to be this clan of warriors, and they're like, hey, you know what we should do?
Tether ourselves to it?
We should tether ourselves to it. And I mean, surely our 190 pounds soaking wet, muscular frame
armor.
We'll be able to hold this beast down. And of course, I like that they made it do what it did, which is exactly what an alligator would do, is the barrel roll.
That was cool seeing the death roll. That was cool. Yeah.
But what were they thinking? Why didn't they just run?
Go into the cave, that little cave they walked out of. It couldn't fit in there. Go. That's why I said on my reaction video. I'm like, just turn around and run. Like, I know you're warriors, but you don't have to be dyers. You know what I mean? Like, you just, like, it's like guaranteed death. Like, if you didn't have that right Naboo starfighter come in, you'd be donezo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, freaking, you're fighting this hybrid turtle crocodile monster. Like, let's put some bombs on its shell, of all places. Yeah, that's the good place to put it.
Yeah, that's a deal. it was just the tactics were curious. That's the nice way of putting it. I'm not sure why that's the route they went, but that's the route they went.
Because they need to be saved. That's
more
why.
Power to them. Yeah, the Mandalorian had to come in. The Mandalorian, Din Djarin, had to swoop in and save him. And of course, the armor's like, oh, hello, Buttface.
You're not a Mandalorian.
Yeah.
We don't care. You saved us. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Grogu's like looking at him the whole time like, hey, man, we want to be Mandalorians. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so, you know, she tells him how it's going to be. He's got what he's going to do, and off he goes. Yeah. Takes off for Dave Navarro. And when he's there, listen.
All of a sudden, the lush Navarro.
Yeah. Hey, it looked great, man. And, you know, here's the thing. When we were there on Navarro not that long ago, where Grogu was sitting in the little school eating the cookies, you know, it was halfway to being like it is now.
Yeah.
But listen, there's something I want to say. This is really my main takeaway. I love the episode. Grogu is friggin' adorable. The whole thing with the Ancelans and Babu Frick's friends and a bad baby. No squeezy. I love that whole thing. So bad cute. Baby. I loved that they were just unapologetically puppets.
Yeah.
Hi, we're puppets at Star Wars. Yes. More, please. Thank you. It is this. John Favreau said on some roundtable discussion of some podcast that there's been 2 years that Grogu was with Luke for 2 years. Because at first I thought surely that gap he's talking about is the end of season two of The Mandalorian in real life versus the beginning of season two or season three of The Mandalorian in real life. But no, he said the part where he was with Luke for 2 years.
Yeah.
That's stupid. And here's why. When we see Din Djarin land right? Mm-hmm. It's after that that we see Luke and Grogu. This in the Book of Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. Whenever he goes to get him. That's when we see Luke and Grogu, right? Mm-hmm. They're having this conversation where he's asking him about where he came from and about someone who kind of looked like him who spoke in riddles, meaning he's asking him about Yoda. Mm-hmm. And does any of this sound familiar? And here, why won't you do this? Let me just show you. Jump. Just try jumping. That's a good trick. That was the conversation after 2 years of being together. That's as far as you got in 2 years, because Din Djarin was there waiting to pick him up while you're having this talk with him. Two years it took you to get to that. Listen, well,
where are you from?
You got to get better at breaking the ice, because that is ridiculous.
To be fair, Luke's always been awkward.
God, what'd they do the whole other, how, you know,
whatever, food good?
2 years minus 6 days. Yeah, you hungry?
Need a dye change?
I thought for them to come in and say that after the fact is so reactionary and so stupid.
Yeah. Well, they've been doing a lot of shit like that. And it's because they're trying to be like the hero of the fans. You know what I mean? That's like the whole mantra it seems to be at Disney World, especially with Star Wars, and especially between Favreau and Filoni. And so they're trying to give us some kind of information, but also they're also always trying to like be like slightly mysterious. Like, anybody gives a fuck? Like, just tell us like what the, you know, and the truth is they don't really know. And then I think like Filoni said that at this point in the history of whatever, that they're only like a year after the Battle of Yavin or something. So, or no, something like that. Yeah. No, sorry. After the second Death Star was blown up. So it's like, well, then that's definitely not 2 years, Favreau.
Yeah, where's that at, butthole?
So it's like they just don't have it. Like, so I don't know exactly what all of it means, nor do I super or like really care. But I'm like, I do care, but I don't. Like, I just don't like why do they have to give like loose answers that come across as true answers. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just,
well, here's the thing too, man. The trick is just don't respond.
Yeah.
There doesn't need to be an answer. You don't have an answer. Don't make one up on the spot. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Some time passed. How much? I don't know. You guess. It doesn't matter. But my guess is that they've either said that because they've got Grogu doing some massive thing.
That's like, my
how do you learn how to do that? Because, you know, well, here we go again, the Star Wars. And then you got that girl doing them force powers. You know, it's gonna be that all over again.
Goddamn Mary Sue.
And so they have to do this whole deal to keep people from how did Grogu learn how to do this? Listen, yeah, he's exactly a cute what it little is. Green guy. Just, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
The Force, man. The Force works in mysterious ways.
You move got along. That right, Jack.
Move along. Like, it's like, I completely agree with you that that's why they did it. Like, that's what I said as soon as Tom posted the first, like, thing. He's like, this is kind of breaking my brain about, like, being 2 years, whatever. I'm like, oh, so, AKA, Grogu is going to do something fucking crazy. It's what they're telling us. Like, the saying without saying.
Yeah. So, but what do you think of the episode, man?
I thought it was really fun. I had a good time watching it and reacting to it, because like, it was a lot to react to, you know? So I think there's a lot of shows. Like, I thought about doing that with The Last of Us and stuff like that. And to be honest, that's a much more of a watch it show, don't react to it show. Whereas The Mandalorian is much more popcorn friendly, you know, like all this stuff's going on and whatever else. But it's funny. There were so many times when I was watching it, I'm like, oh, well, this is going to happen. Like, this is what's going to happen here. Like, when they, and it happened, like the letting that pirate go, I'm like, yeah, that guy really seems like the kind of guy that just goes, oh, they got a bunch of shit here, let's leave them alone. You know what I mean? He's a pirate. Like, surely he would be back with more people. And then whenever Din Djarin and Grogu left, and like, and he's like, oh, we got pirates. I'm like, I bet we know those pirates. Yeah, it was the same ones. And then whenever the whole thing with IG-11, which, what the fuck? I don't know what that whole thing is. Like that semi bothered me, because I'm like, that dude, that thing blew itself up like the smithereens. The whole point being that the whole point of it was so it could not get its stuff recovered. That's the whole reason why that whole self-destruct was put in it. Remember? Like he's saying, he's like, the code or whatever dictates, the assassin droid dictates, or guild dictates, that I cannot be compromised. So therefore I must explode and remove all my fucking data. And like, I go, no, now Mandalorian's got the magic fingers to bring that back. Don't you worry. And I said, whenever they were like, when he was at the statue, he's going to tell him to bring it down. I said, and he's on the table. I'm like, oh, so they're going to fix him and give him back and put a new body or whatever. I'm like, surely he won't come back and try to kill them.
I liked how visceral and violent that seemed. When
it was very like, Terminator 1 is what it was.
Yeah, it definitely was. Just like dragging itself around on the floor.
Mm-hmm. In the factory.
Yeah. Yeah. And saying, I'll be back.
Yeah. I mean, but it was cool. I'm not saying it wasn't cool. I'm just saying it kind of goes against the whole reason why that whole thing happened.
Yeah. But, and how he sacrificed himself, relaxing Din Djarin's no droid policy.
Yeah. And people are like, oh, we actually really like that combination of IG-11, Mandalorian, and Grogu. No shit. That's what made it a meaningful death. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you know, death, however you want to describe it, when a robot dies, but like gets it blown up. But like, it's, I mean, he went through, I mean, there was that, the season one did so many things right? Like having us care about this murder droid, number one, I almost forgot what his name, what was Nolte-Knots? Quill. Having Quill go through that whole process of teaching it and reprogramming it and teaching how to be as a nurse droid. And then like, don't worry, I'm coming back for you, after he's like a murder droid again and they squashed his face with Grief's bust and all that stuff. It's like, what are we doing? Like, and then the whole thing that weirded me out, like, I like all the stuff I was seeing, but it weirded me out. I'm like, so when he went to see Bo-Katan, I was like, he goes, I've come here to join you. I'm like, is he straight up lying to her? Like, what's the, like, I mean, is he just wanting people to go with him to Mandalore so he can do his thing? I'm like, why would you ask these people who want nothing to do with your shit? Like, it was weird. Like, what was he scheming to do?
I think when he said that he, because he mentioned, well, what happened to your plans to regain Mandalore?
Yeah.
Because that's what he thought she was doing. And I think he genuinely, man, I'm here to join you. Let's go do this thing. That way I can get back to Mandalore and take a bath in the, river of redemption.
Yeah. But it's just weird. Like, because like the way he said it was as if I'm joining up for your cause is what it sounded like.
Well, sure. Yeah. That's exactly what it sounded like to me too.
Yeah.
So I saw a TikTok that somebody made, this girl, and she was dressed like she kind of had the headband on, like Bo-Katan.
Yeah, I saw it, yeah.
And it was very cute, where she's like, no, mom, I didn't lose the Darksaber on purpose. And then she's like, she sees the ship coming in, because that's one of the things people said, just as she just hang out there on that throne all the time. Amanda mentioned that too.
Yeah, when they all cocked up like Darth Maul.
Yeah, dude. Something about her though, man, because you know I'm into stuff that's like the boots she was wearing and just how badass she looked. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but anyhow, she's like, so she just sits there all the time. I said, no, she got the proximity alert that the ship had entered the atmosphere, and she's like, well, you gotta put on appearances.
Let me go over here and throw out the vibe, is what she said.
Yeah.
And that vibe is fuck you, is what it is.
Yep.
I mean, pretty much what it was. She's like, you're an idiot. Your shit's dumb.
I need number one, not your shit.
Yes, that's how. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I was a little weirded out that, like, I mean, I guess not, but still, kind of that. All the people just left her. like, oh yeah, they're mercenaries now. It's like, what? Like, yeah. Like, what happened to you guys all having this belief in like the restoration of Mandalore? Like, I get like the Darksaber, but like there was Mandalore, like the Darksaber was like, it was a thing, then it wasn't a thing, and it was gone, then it wasn't gone, and then it was like all this other stuff. Like, they had lots of Mandalorian stuff going on in between those times. It's like, what are you doing?
Well, my take on that was, is that their slant would be, it was right there. Why didn't you take it from that guy?
Yeah.
But, you know, or her answer would be, well, because I teamed up with him to save this being, and blah, blah, blah. They're like, yeah, but... The creed dictates that blah, blah, blah. Now, I did like how she crapped on his cult and all that. But, yeah, I really wish the episode had been longer by about 50%.
Yeah, it could have been, for sure. I'm still really perturbed by the whole, like, I'm assuming it's going to turn around at some point. He's going to be like, nah, I was right to take my helmet off in the first place, you know, but like, it's just the whole, like, it feels so brainwashy. You know what I mean? Because like, he saw what it means to take your helmet off and what it meant to him, you know, what things outside of all this meant. And then he still returned because that's what he knew. And it was like, he had to regain his honor and all that shit. And it was like, man, you earned your honor by giving up all that mattered to you to save this child. And like, if they don't think you do, then maybe they're not the people you should be with.
Well, you know, but I mean, it's one thing where he grew up the entire time believing this particular thing from these people who saved him from certain death. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to want to cling to that, especially when like things didn't work out the way he thought they were going to. You know, he sends Grogu along with Luke and all of that, and now he doesn't even know what his purpose is. So he makes this decision at that point, I need to go and get back with my homies. Mm-hmm. And then, oh man, I really miss Grogu. Because that's when all that happened, you know. Mm-hmm. He had the little chainmail shirt. She knew he had taken his helmet off. So he's like, now I'm a like a Ronin. I am a masterless, aimless drifter. So I need to get myself right. And then Grogu showed back up.
Yeah. Do you think that kid at the very beginning was either the child of whatever big boy Mando's name is? Because they had the same Pax colors.
Vizsla, yeah. Or Paz Vizsla.
Yeah, yeah. You think that's like, or maybe it's just a foundling he got. You know what I mean? Because he had the same colors as him.
Yeah, my guess would be probably a foundling.
Yeah. But
because that guy wouldn't carry that huge gun if his equipment worked right.
Right, right. Yeah. One of the first things I said whenever that monster came out of the water, he fired that space Gatling gun. I was like, don't worry, I got my space Gatling gun. Let me do nothing with this. Because this giant sea beast. Like, clearly you needed aerial bombardments to stop it. So I'm with you, dude. Like, if anybody wants to talk about plot devices, whatever, that is the biggest one in the entire series so far, is the fact that they wouldn't go back into space where that thing could not go, where they literally just came out of, to avoid certain death. That was, I mean, I don't know if it was, I don't know if that's supposed to be like some statement about the Mandalorian warriors, that they'd rather die than take shelter. But if that's their creed, it's dumb. Because there's sometimes you got to run.
Well, listen, real quick, I want to say something here. You mentioned the Gatling gun.
Yeah.
You pronounced it like many people do, as Gatlin. And
it's Gatling.
Right, with a G on it.
Yeah. But I'm just from Indiana.
No, I know, but hang on, that's where I'm heading. The number, and now listen, if your name is Gatlin or your kid's name is Gatlin, please know that I'm not crapping on that necessarily.
Oh, he is directly insulting you and your entire bloodline.
But what I do want to tell you is the number of kids that I've seen in this area named Gatlin. Mm. Right? Here's the deal. It's not 10, but it's definitely not zero, right? It's more than one, and it's more than two. Listen, if you named your kid Gatlin, like mm-hmm. the gun, and I'm putting air quotes around that, you did it wrong.
You did it wrong.
Because there is no such thing.
You better make some modifications.
Yeah. His middle name better be Gus, and yeah. you better put his middle initial in everything.
No. Just Gatlin G, whatever. Mm-hmm. Gatlin G Redneck.
Anyway, there, that's your thing for the day, and you can just send all the hate mail my way. Listen, I've lived in the Midwest my whole life. Not much surprises me, which reminds me, out of nowhere, and I can't do anything with it, unfortunately, because it's not my video. A buddy of mine hit me up. There's a video from our last day of high school in 1991, and we were just children. And there I was playing guitar with my teacher. And he was the like civics and government teacher, Mr. Mm-hmm. Everett Wilson. And he played dobro and sang like bluegrass and stuff. Mm-hmm. Dobro is like an acoustic guitar, but the dobro company, it's a resonator. It's like it got a metal resonator in the top, but it's always like laying on your lap and you play it with a slide.
But, so you're saying if you were going to name your child after, you just call it Gobro, not Gobra?
No, dobro.
Dobro.
D-O-B-R-O.
Not Dobra.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So anyhow, anyway, the whole thing is there I was playing guitar and with Mr. Wilson playing that. And I played the harmonica back then. And I got to see a little video snippet of me playing the harmonica. And my goodness, wasn't I just a young man. Lean as could be.
Whole life ahead of him.
Slight mullet.
Knees working functional.
It was 1991. Didn't need glasses. No
back pains.
Yeah.
No glasses.
The only time my joints hurt was because I had recently fallen down the stairs drunk. You know, all those things. But anyway, that was kind of neat. Speaking of growing up in the Midwest and being a redneck. So yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, let's back up and get back to the Mandalorian.
Yeah, so, what were your overall thoughts? You didn't give me your overall thoughts. I mean, you said you liked it, but like, was there, and we had some takeaways, but like, you were disappointed by the length, but like, were you, you know, that's what she said, but like, were you like, did you feel any, like, were you like really happy after it? Were you like, oh, well, I can see where this goes.
Yeah, I loved it. I did. Yeah. I loved it. It was full of hope. Mm-hmm. And because for one, I thought seeing the Purrgil in
the space stream
was really cool. I thought, you know, Grogu seeing them, and because, mm-hmm. you know, his whole thing is the like communing with animals.
Yeah.
And so I think he probably really experienced their presence differently. Yeah.
Foreshadowing.
Well, sure. I mean, because, yeah, we're going to be seeing, that's going to be a major plot point, obviously, if you mm-hmm. know where Ahsoka's going with Rebels and the whole bit. Mm-hmm. And it's just things like when Mando's asleep in the cockpit of the ship and Grogu comes and crawls underneath and up into his arms.
Yeah.
Freaking
out. He's like, hey, man, you're missing the space whales.
But, and he's like, Dad, me. And just like, the dog fight between Mando and the pirates, how good that looked. And like the scene where he comes over the top of that meteor and it's the shot is from the side and you can see that he's just skimming the surface and the sound that they chose for the engines of that ship. Oh, it was all so good. I love seeing the Ancelans. I thought that was hilarious. And I loved it. Are there things about it that were stupid? Of course there were.
There always will be at Star Wars.
I loved it very, very much.
Yeah, you're right though. Like all those things that we were talking about making fun of, like that's making fun of in love because that is Star Wars. Like stupid shit that makes no sense is Star Wars. It's called, mm-hmm. It's supposed to be corny. It's supposed to be in certain respects. Yeah. Like, and I think like you were saying, Andor made you kind of think you might shift your thought about what Star Wars is or what's entertaining to you about Mandalorian especially, mm-hmm. right? But then you realize, like, no, this is home. That's where it all came from. Like, there is no Andor without goofy shit like the Mandalorian. And you know, I mean, specifically Andor to the TV wise, there is, I mean, if the Mandalorian's not a hit, there is no Andor, right? But like, as far as like the original like idea of Star Wars and what it is and what it meant and like what it was about and where its original ideas came from with George Lucas and like with the kind of tone he wanted to set, like Mandalorian's right on pace with it. So like, it's just in a different time, a different filmmaking era, right? But still, like, it's carrying on the tradition of that. So whenever something like that happens, it's fun to poke holes at it, like, or to joke about it when I first see it. But like at the end of the day, like, I'm not mad about like them standing out there, like fighting this beast that was clearly going to eat all of them until Mando showed up. Cause we know Mando had to save the day. It was the whole point. He had to come in. It's just, it's classic hero shit is what it is.
That's in your head. Jokes like that.
Yeah.
But the whole Western vibe of Greef Karga being, you know, all dressed up, but then he's got his sidearm on. And
can we talk about his cape droids? Because those things were fucking crazy.
I loved how at the beginning when he's walking to meet Mando outside and you see them like get dragged down the stairs. I thought that was pretty good.
You hear them clanging like the little RC cars that they are.
Well, listen, while we're talking about like where it all came from, let's jump right on over to the Bad Batch.
Okay.
Because that has the most, you still are really feeling the effects of George Lucas and the Clone Wars in that. I mean, the Bad Batch is, it's just more Clone Wars episodes, really, in style and tone and all that. Mm-hmm. And in this particular episode, you guys have all seen it. It starts out, it's just like the movie Aliens and all of this, but the frightening aspect of it, I thought was really good. I thought that visually it was great. The scene of the ship adrift in space and like the smoke coming off of it, it was excellent. It looked
with the commando troopers.
Yeah. All of that stuff. So you've all seen it. I'm not going to go over it beat by beat. Here's the thing. They did some really interesting things about, listen, the Empire's trying to do all this cloning. It ends with saying, if you really want to get Lama Say under control, then you need to find this girl clone. So, like, we didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. And the thing that they had cloned and had going on was the Zillow Beast.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yes, it is, but... Mm-hmm. There's something about the Zillow Beast episode in the Clone Wars. It was a two-episode arc, right?
Very sad.
It really bothered me. Yeah. Like, it really bothered me. And I realize that's dumb, but just, like, how Palpatine, to me, was just the gross embodiment of evil because he's this sentient thing that he basically knows what it's thinking, and they took it out of its habitat and then got mad when it reacted the way it did and then euthanized it. It disgusted me. And I don't know why. It just, something about it really bothered me where I watched those episodes one time, maybe twice, but I was like, it really bothered me. So seeing it come back it was something. Now, wasn't it resistant to the Force as well? Wasn't that one of its things?
Dude, it's been so long since I've seen that episode, I can't quite remember. But I mean, that sounds probably about right. I don't know. But your disgust at that is the same reason why we would root on King Kong. You know what I mean? Like, they dragged him from Skull Island and they're like, I can't believe he's going on a rampage. It's like,
right,
what the fuck are you talking about? This is a giant gorilla. You put him in this metal city, like, you're about to lose his mind. Yeah. No, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Like, whenever those idiots in Jurassic Park 2 thought they were going to bring the T-Rexes back, expect nothing to happen. Like, okay.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, we have, it's not like we're like, oh yeah, kill everybody. It's just like, what do you expect was going to happen? Do you think you have the correct measures to contain such a thing? Like, it's a force of nature which you were not prepared for ever. And the Zillow Beast, like, I love that it's like literally power hungry. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
And it the way that they showed it, and it is all it's doing is trying to grow, and so it's eating everything: droids, people, power sources, batteries. Who cares? Throw it at me. I'm going to eat it and grow. And when he got, and we got onto that, onto the actual power grid. It, the way they, like, I agree. It's kind of disturbing in a way what they do to these things. They seem like they keep exploiting it over and over and over again. Like, it's because it's so, because it's such a trans, literally transformative thing. They, all these powers it has that, of course, they want to be able to experiment on it and use it for its own, their own gains and whatever else, because something like that just is something that you don't know what's going to happen with it. It can, the power it could give you. And it's sad because it's such a, like, a beautiful thing. And the way that they always, like, the way they lit the Zillow Beast in the Clone Wars and the way they lit it here, very similar, right? The way they really play with the darkness and the lights reflect off of and the electricity coming off of it is, like, really well done animation. Like, it's very much a thrill to watch it. But at the same time, you can't help but feel bad for it. And they try, I think they tried to make you feel a little less bad for it by having it be its little tiny, like, xenomorph version first. You know what I mean? Going around eating people and stuff like that. Like, oh, this thing's actually a monster. So they like tried to, like, give you some kind of some, like, resolve. But at the same time, they took it from its homeland, or they cloned it. They cloned it from something that they had taken from its homeland. And then
right.
They're still surprised that it's attacking places wherever it goes. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. There's just it you know how I feel about it. But I like the episode. I liked the darkness of it.
Yeah.
And just I don't know. I think it's cool that they're taking chances with Star Wars like that. And yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, you've seen the episode title for today. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it was low-hanging fruit that nobody grabbed a hold of. And so it's the name of this episode, in case you didn't look at your podcatcher, was Go, Go, Godzilla. I mean, it's right there for the grabbing.
Go, go, Godzilla.
There goes Tokyo. Go, go, Godzilla. Woo! Thank you, Blue Oyster Cult. History shows again and again how nature points out the folly of men.
Oh.
Yep. Wise words. Anyhow, I do love Little Blue Oyster Cult. Burning for You, great song. Don't Fear the Reaper, great song.
Gotta get more cowbell, though.
Yeah.
I gotta get more cowbell, baby.
So anyhow, there it was, man. And so now we got to just wonder, when is Omega going to be kidnapped? Because plainly she will be.
It'll be like a three-episode arc.
Yeah. Do you think that the season will end with her fate up in the air?
Probably. They can't help themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what will happen. Now, I genuinely think that Omega will make it out of this series alive. Mm-hmm. I do not think that they're going to not have that happen.
Kill a kid on a kid show?
Yeah. Mm. Of course, you know, here I am watching Lost and Saeed shoots a kid
who's
like 10, 12 years old, splat. But anyway, yeah.
It was a different time, Eric.
Who knows? But no, I think that's what will happen. But anyhow, yeah. So while we're talking about kids out doing their thing, man, we got The Last of Us. Mm-hmm. And now, listen, I know what you're thinking, but Eric, that was the week before this one. You're right, it was. Because as I joked before, I'm always the last of us to see The Last of Us. When we record this, it's Monday night. The episode came out last night. I have not been able to watch it. And that is probably going to continue through there's only two more, right?
One more. One more. After the one you haven't seen yet.
So yeah, just expect for us to be a week late on that too. So sorry. Sorry, everyone. But anyway, yeah. So we're talking about the episode where they go to the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. Okay, yes. I loved it. I thought that the way it looked was great. I thought that what they did with the characters was great. I thought the way that they used the vehicle of the flashback to explain the choices the characters make in the present is just top shelf. Yes. Top shelf. The way the mall looked was so good and so real. And how they, the logic they used behind what was still in the mall and what was long since been looted, was good. And the reaction to, first of all, they're like them crushing on each other.
Yeah.
But then how they both reacted to being attacked and bitten, and how one of the things that, Riley, was that her name? The friend?
Maybe. I'm terrible at names.
So. If you would have asked me, like, say a week ago, I could have told you what her name was. But anyway, one of the things she points out is that to Ellie is like, this doesn't mean as much to you because you've never had anybody.
Yeah.
You've never had a family, and I have, and that's why belonging to these people feels so important to me. That's why when they chose me, I was emotionally connected to that happening. But you've never had that. So how would you know? And so that's why their reactions to the situation are completely based on that. Ellie's flipping out and smashing stuff and screaming and the whole thing. And her friend who's, did you look up her name?
It's Riley.
Okay. Is sitting there just completely dejected. She's already to the, like the grief part of it. And and seeing that happen now, plainly I haven't seen the one that came out yesterday, but all signs point to some real sad stuff happening out of that scenario of those two just decide, no, we're not going to just kill ourselves now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I remember Ellie saying, whenever they ask, have you ever killed anybody? And she's like, we're never going to talk about that.
Yeah.
You know? And so, I mean,
yeah,
I think I know where it's headed. But anyway, God dang. It's such a good show.
Yeah. It's a masterful show is what it is.
Yeah.
Extremely
well done. The soundtrack, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. For all the way from the fingerstyle acoustic guitar of the theme and just all of it. It's so, so good. And I don't know, like when the carousel was there and it's playing this little melody, you know, did you recognize it right away?
No.
It's Friday I'm in Love by The Cure.
Oh, nice.
And it was like, you know, circus music sounding. This was, I don't know, man. I recognized it right away. I was like, listen to it.
In a typical mall carousel, they don't go up and down.
Yeah.
The horses, they don't go up and down.
You know what, though? The malls around here that had carousels did.
Did they?
Yeah.
The several I've been to, like in my parcel of the world have all been just like when they had them, you know, forever ago now. They're just like the stagnant horses. I guess they're afraid of the extra liability. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, it's just more moving parts to stop working.
Yeah. Yeah.
But carousels are very complex gear and pinion driven devices.
Lots of things to go wrong.
Yeah, very many. Yeah. But anyway,
that's why Fair Rides was always to be nervous.
I love carousels, man. They were Stella's jam.
Yeah, well, carousels are there's relatively little damage and I mean little, you know, threat of death in it unless it just explodes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, like, I'm talking like the zipper? Those things that you remember those that thing, you remember the zipper and the fairs? The things that like little. The caged thing that would like flip like that. They're like 95 years old and they just kept the same ones going rotation forever. Yes. My mom, I remember when I went on one when I was like, I don't know, 10 or 11 at the fair. My mom was just like, I went on that when I was a little girl and it was old then.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they don't really have that theme park budget.
It's the people that are standing between you and death in those things are traveling wanderers, if you will, mm-hmm. who I was going to say vagabonds, but maybe that's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Who don't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And are skipping town the second they're done. So like the liability is, I don't know. There's just something. Limited. Like I remember being at a car show and these people were auctioning or it was a drawing to win this Grand National. If you aren't familiar with what kind of car that is, I don't know what to tell you. But they were traveling all over the country. This car had, I don't remember how many miles on it. Well, a bunch.
You win
it
this was, car?
It wasn't brand new. Dude, it went to a million car shows and it was before cell phones. Nobody won that car. I'm just telling you, they just did raffle tickets at every place and like, oh, we'll call you if you're the winner.
No winners
needed. Nobody won that car. I'm just telling you. It's that kind of thing.
All the schemes to make money, man. That's a good one, though.
Yeah, it is pretty clever.
You want to win this Grand National with 85,000 miles on it? Let's go.
Even if somebody did win that car, guess what? They drove it all over the place. Probably had sex in it a bunch.
Oh yeah, and a whole bunch of cocaine in the vents of that car for sure.
And you paid for it 100 times over with raffle tickets.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I digress.
At this episode, right? We digress off of carousels. For one thing, I loved it, but I want to say, like, did you have a problem with like adjusting the saturation levels on your TV with all the different like lighting things? Like, I don't know, might just be like the quality of my TV, I guess, but I had a hard time with the blacks and the really bright neons. It was like all over the place. It was all kinds of bleed and shit happening. I had to like change the set. It was driving me nuts. But like,
grossly overestimate how much I care about any of that.
Well, overall though, I'm glad that they one had that Mortal Kombat 2 poster in the beginning and then they played Mortal Kombat 2. That's what kind of like brought them like even closer and closer together. And, I was definitely Raiden all the time back in the day when I played that. So I understand Ellie's choice, Raiden and Scorpion. Anyways. So, I really like their whole setup of flirting and like, she like giving them gifts, all that stuff. And then the realization that she was there to guard bombs, like for the Fireflies.
Right.
Was. And it was, and she was like, oh, so you're just going to, you were just waiting to kill all of us? Like, what was your plan with these bombs? And like, no, right. I'm just watching them and they're sending me off somewhere else and I wanted to see you again. And then like the fact that she had convinced her to stay and then they got bitten. It was just like, The Last of Us has been one of the best shows, I mean, games, stories I've ever come across that is so good at getting you to really love people and then it's destroying your soul.
That's something that I mentioned whenever I was talking to Amanda about it, is I said, this story is a story built upon tragedy.
Yeah.
That's literally every last thing about this is tragic.
Yeah. And it has no choice but to be.
Right. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, yeah. But it's so well done. I wish it was never going to end.
Yeah.
I love it. I do love it. So,
I do wonder where they're going to go with the next season, though. I'm not going to give any more details, but I'm not going to give details about what happens or anything. But like, they're definitely moving towards the end of the first game. Like, it's really there. So, like, I don't really know what they're going to do in the second season. You're going to play the second game, and then what?
Well, I think that's the case. So what Randy was speculating, Randy Lejudice from the Sith List, is that he's super familiar with the game as well. And he's like, look, there's virtually no way that the first season is the first game. The end. He's like, that's where it's going to end. I'm just telling you. But he said the second game is probably would do well as being two seasons long.
I could see that because the way the story went.
Yeah. Now, I haven't... I haven't played the games. I would love to tell you I'm completely unspoiled, but that is not true because I am friends with a butthole. And, but you know, hey, what are you going to do?
Am I that butthole? Did I do something wrong?
No, it's not you. Okay. You're a butthole and I'm friends with you, but no, that's not what,
but not in this case. I'm not the whole of butt. That's good.
Correct.
Yeah. But but this episode itself, I like the callbacks, where like from the episode 5 or 4, where she was like asking for a drink of his hooch when they're by the fire and like, it's like, yep, still gross. And then they had her drinking again. It's like, so good. When just like, and like how like nonchalant they were about finding like this dead body of this dude had like mixed a whole bunch of pills and alcohol. Like, what? This alcohol seems real. And he falls through the floor like, and they keep going up the
stairs. Yeah. Like, well, what are you going to do?
It's another day in the life of this decaying world.
Yeah.
But I like them roof jumping, going along, you know, after taking a couple of swigs in their young brains, you know, walking up, totally something I would have done too. And it was just it was once again, it was a case of like, there's all kinds of infected inside this place. That's why it's sealed up. And they go in there and there's literally just that one, you know. And it was just like when they went in the underground tunnels in episode 4. And they were told that it was all filled with infected. It's like all these authorities are telling people not to go in these places because they're like access points to the outside world, basically. And like, you can't go that way because you're not allowed.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there were like no dead bodies in there except for that one fungal man against the wall. That was the most Pirates of the Caribbean one so far. When you know what I'm talking about from the second Pirates of the Caribbean, where they're all like a part of the ship, they're like part coral when they come out of the coral. It was very much. She's like, but it was a very good episode, and I really enjoyed like not only seeing like how the relationship between those two girls like was really coming to fruition, and they realized or not, Ellie realized how much. Riley meant to her like in a different way than what she maybe had not. I'm sure she had an idea, but you know what I mean? Like really understood. And because she was leaving for good and, you know, all that stuff, it was started to affect her and like danced on top of those cases wearing those masks and stuff. And, and like, I wonder if that was, you know, maybe I'm making it too deep, but it kind of feels like it was like their way of being able to do the thing they wanted to do together, but like hiding their faces. So it was silly, but they really wanted to like be able to touch each other. And you know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah.
And it was, it takes you back to feeling that age, you know, and obviously we're not girls. So we have maybe a slightly different imagining what that feels like. But at the same time, we were once young people and there's all these nerves and like all these things associated with realizing you like somebody when you're young. And you don't quite know how to express it,
right?
And the juxtaposition of that against the world they live in was such a crazy like dynamic, because how do you even have time to have the thought about I like somebody in this world? Like,
well, and that's just one of the interesting things to me is that. Even in the worst of circumstances, life goes on.
Yeah.
In whatever fashion it can. And there's just certain human emotions and certain human experiences that are universal regardless of the backdrop. So I don't know, man. I think that's really cool. But I'm super stoked on this show.
Yeah.
But so listen, jumping forward. I watched two movies this past week since we last spoke. One of which was Glass Onion.
Nice.
Finally.
Nice.
1,000 years later, Amanda and I watched it and we loved it.
Yeah.
It was super fun. And Ryan Johnson is a freaking genius, man. He really is. Daniel Craig, fantastic. Every actor in that movie was so good.
Yes.
And I just love the literally how this story was like peeling an onion.
Yes.
Because the layers and layers, quite good. And fake Elon Musk / Jeff Bezos was, Edward Norton great in that role. He did a really good job. And it was funny because one of the things that helped, whatever his name is.
Yeah, yeah.
Figure out that he was fake was one of the words he said early on being not an actual word. And I remember I picked up on that. I'm like, I don't think that's a word. And then the movie went on, you know, and then later on he goes, oh, I noticed you said this. It's like, I was right. But
you really enjoyed it though.
I loved it.
I want to say, when I was going in that movie, like I loved it too. Right? I thought it was really good. I don't know if I liked it more than the first one, but I feel like they're different things, kind of. They're the same vibe, different.
Yeah, different. It's very different.
Yeah, but I do like I'm a fan of Rian Johnson's storytelling in general, right? So like, but I tell you what, I would have been going on those fucking We Hate Rian Johnson No Matter What shows if he had. I would have found one of those idiots to go on the show if he hadn't done exactly what he did, which is put the song Glass Onion on the perfect beat right as the movie ended. Like it went dark and it immediately went into that Ringo Starr. Pop, pop. I was like, yes, yes. Like, I fucking love that song. Like, it's an incredible song. And when I saw Rian Johnson was naming it Glass Onion, I said, Ryan, RJ, I swear to God, you better have that goddamn song in the big first thing you hear in the credits for every Glass Onion.
The one thing I didn't like about it, and I mean not that didn't like, the one thing that I wish could have been maybe a little different,
yeah,
was when what's her face, because now it's been, you know, a decent amount of time since I watched it,
yeah,
that
Janelle Monáe, is that her name?
I don't know. Whatever the character's name was, when she got shot.
Yeah.
And we thought she was dead.
Well, that's her real name, I think.
Right. No, I know. But when we thought she was dead, mm-hmm. and then what saved her was the notebook,
mm-hmm.
right? And her, is that happening by luck? Because of luck, otherwise the whole course of how that went would have changed.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I don't like, but mm-hmm. at the same time, it was a good storytelling device, mm-hmm. and I really dug it. And the mind games that went into the whole thing and how using that, knowing that one of them was the perpetrator, yeah. Knowing that they'd have to be like, what? It just, that was very well done. So clap, 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 claps all around.
I like the ending where they're all sitting on the stoop after all the whole thing start melting down and burning up. Like, you know, they had that big old, like all the violence and stuff in it was good, but it was all just like, it was all like, oh, we're going to do this now, you know? Yeah. And then they're sitting on that stoop and the detective's like laying all out for him. Like, look, dude, we all know this was you. This is how we have all this proof here, there, and here. And then like, and he's just like, yeah, what the fuck ever, man. Like, whatever. He doesn't make an attempt to like get on a boat and flee or anything right. like that. And they're all just kind of sitting there like, well, that was a fucking thing. And this is all your fault, man.
Yeah.
Well, anybody need a drink? Like, you know, like that was the vibe. It was cool though.
And so the other movie we watched was Shazam.
Oh,
seen it.
With the Rock. Yeah, yeah.
Not Black Adam.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Shazam.
Yeah, it's Shazam.
They all say Shazam, so it gets confusing.
Which had never seen it, and really dug it.
Yeah.
Finally, a DC movie that wasn't a steaming pile.
Yeah.
That was
5 years old, that movie?
I don't know, man. Something. Yeah. But it was good. And Estella actually liked it.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So hooray on that.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah, it was. I remember that movie. It was good. I think the second one's coming out fairly soon. I think, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is what made us think to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you know, as you said. But now, listen, I'm sure this got said plenty of time at the time, or plenty at the time. But I'm sure we can all agree that Zachary Levi is Jimmy Fallon just with steroids, right?
Yeah, 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 for sure. I mean, he was Good Luck Chuck like forever ago. He was a scrawny little dude. Yeah. So yeah.
But I mean, he's so much like Jimmy Fallon. It's not even funny. The facial expressions, the way he talks, the pickup, you know,
he's a mixture between Jimmy Fallon and the Jim from The Office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, love that too. So hooray for me. But
yeah.
So listen, you know what we should talk about now?
Mm.
Play the theme for the video game power hour. I don't even know if we don't have one. So real quick, just the only piece of gaming news that I have is that they're the next, it's chapters with seasons, right? Chapter 4, season 2
is coming up.
Fortnite is coming to an end. Mm-hmm. And number 2 is coming out. And so rumor on the street is that there's going to be a new Star Wars skin and all these force powers.
Mm-hmm.
And so neat, right?
Yeah. Well, the rumor is like it's like going to have like force lift, force jump, force lightning, force pull, force push, force rip, force grip, force vacuum, whatever the hell all that means. But like there was a thing from Bespin Bulletin where they had like who is it? It was Anakin Skywalker, Cal Kestis, and Bo-Katan, right?
Bo-Katan, yeah. And so apparently in the data miners found this like in the code, and the code name for the skin that nobody knows what it is yet is Plot Twist.
Mm.
I'm not setting up something to say that is the code name. Code name Plot Twist. So who knows what that means, man? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to see what it is. I mean, can't wait to spend more money on a game that I keep spending a ton of money in. They're really good at getting you to spend money. That's
they
for
are
sure.
quite good at it.
They're also, and I know you don't watch it, but I've been watching Attack on Titan. It's like the only current anime that I watch. Like the only one I ever really watched before was Dragon Ball Z back in the day, and but the Attack on Titan one is extremely good. A very very violent. Definitely not one I would say to watch in front of young children. But they're going to have Aaron Yeager from that. Apparently, he's going to be in the battle pass, which is pretty cool. But luckily for you, they don't come with like fireballs or anything like that they shoot and explode worlds with. You know, so I mean, still celebrate Eric! Started. Like in 2 days, no more Deku Smashes.
Hopefully.
And maybe no more hammers for a while.
So, okay, let's talk about Fortnite real quick. One of the things I was trying to do was just like complete out the bonus content for the Battle Pass. And
it's a grind, boy.
It starts getting rough, man. And so then I'm like, well, you know what I need to do is some of these stupid quests. Mm-hmm. And so do a certain amount of melee damage. Well, the easiest way to do that's with a stupid hammer. And I had to go against everything I stand for and use that godforsaken hammer. But I played some matches that went really well until the Deku Smash becomes part of the equation.
Yep.
And I got what I would consider quite ripped off.
Mm.
There's a guy way far away. I'm putting bullets in him, and he has the Deku Smash. I can see it light up, and he throws it, and it hits the cliff like off to my left and down. Mm-hmm. There's not even a bright light. Boom, dead. You finished 8th. It's like, what the hell? It didn't even hit me. My health was high.
Yeah.
Just that game is so stupid. There, I've said it. That's all I have to say.
I actually streamed the other day with Max and my friend and you know Corey, right? Corey Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we streamed with him the other day, and Max is begging me, please, can I play with some of the other people that are your friends besides you? You know what I mean? And finally, I asked Corey if he wanted Corey, our buddy Frank, and Frank couldn't make it, but Corey did, and we came in like second and third, like played four or five matches, every single one of them, the matches. And my son, I don't know what came over him, but he decided he was going to try to be the cool guy of the group. And he's just like, he's like talking a little smack to Corey, because Corey doesn't play a whole bunch, and Corey had like a level 28 or something. And like, and he's just like, this is your first time playing Fortnite? I'm like, Max, you say you want people to play with you? No one wants to play with you. You're talking shit. Stop it.
God.
I was like, I said to Corey, can you tell that he's my son? He's like, oh yeah.
Well, yeah. So what but else have you been? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm gonna say, but he has, like I was saying earlier before we started, Max has got all of those extra characters done and then beyond. And we got both variations of a Geralt. Did you get him yet?
Yeah.
Geralt of Rivia. That's who I figured would be your immediately go-to character because of your similarities. Except he has like white hair instead of blonde, but he could, you know, whatever.
Just years away.
Yeah. But no, I've been playing. I actually started streaming, like, I know I've got a couple of bot, but like some more like of me playing Brotato, because I'm getting to the point where like I got all of the characters, I beat all of them, their first levels, that then you can like immediately go to the hardest difficulty on all of them once you get through one character from one, like 0 through 5, 6 levels of hardness, whatever, 20 waves each. And so I wasn't doing it at first. I was literally like, I'm gonna do each one. I'm gonna go through the 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 each one character. And you realize each one of those waves, each one of those things takes a half an hour if you beat it. So like after a while, you're like, I spent way too much time on this game. And so I started doing the whole like, all right, I'm gonna go to the hardest difficulty and just get them all yellowed out. And I started that challenge today, and I got one. I got 2 of 38 of them done, and I got lots of broken hearts and dreams with the other ones, because it was just like it. I can't explain to you. Like, you spend all this time building up this character, you're going through it, trying to get these different skills, balancing the positives and negatives, and you get to like round 15, and it really starts like kicking in, and then you get to like wave 17, and you're fighting for your life, no matter what character you're using. And if you get the wave 20 with where they have two bosses instead of one like they usually do, and more swarms, it's just, you're just running and hoping you can, because you don't have to beat the boss to win. You can survive and win. And so, yeah, it was like I streamed for like 3 hours today, and it was full of pain.
Dang, dude, yeah. I miss streaming. I just have not been able to do it much. Henry and I streamed some Lego Worlds again, or not, yeah. Lego Worlds, Lego City Undercover. Mm-hmm. That game's really cool, man. I dig that. Definitely give that a look. But yeah. He's like real fickle right now. He'll want to play this. I'm all about this for a day and a half. Now I'm all about this for 2 days. And but, you know, like right now he wants me to play Minecraft with him. Man, I just, dude, it's just so boring.
It just also doesn't make any sense when
you're playing it. It just, I don't
like, what are we trying to achieve? What's happening here?
It's just not my thing. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. And obviously I've been playing Red Dead. Go figure. I installed some Game Pass game like MotoGP, and I've never once opened it. Never run it. It got really mixed reviews. People either loved it or hated it. Yeah. There was really nothing in between. It was a 5 or a 1, 5 or a 1. Mm-hmm. But part of it, the people that hate it was because it's so hard. So I don't know, man. We'll see if I ever play it or not. I don't.
Oh, we should mention. Did you happen to see that Elden Ring is getting DLC?
Oh, it is. I did not realize that.
Oh, yeah. They didn't give a specific release date of it, of course, but they did say that it's happening, and it's not just like. And it's. I think it's new story. It's not just like, you know, like some like where they had other DLC where they opened up the Colosseum that you can't get into in the game. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can do your like, you know, PvP fights and stuff like that. But now it's like, now people really wanted more Elden Ring, not that, you know, because you can already get in fights with people, you know, if you want to, which right. I never cared about. The only reason why I ever did it was so I could get the pass to get directly to where the blood god is. What's his name? I can remember Momin? No. Where you can go to that farming section where all those those things are. You can get that like the very beginning of the game. Do you know that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all you got to do is do a couple like five different missions for this really creepy dude, and then you can go right there. But anyways.
Yeah. Well, what do you know? I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. You know, I needed something else to ruin my life. But I'm going to try to get back into streaming more. Just right now, I have this uniquely weird pile of busyness in a good way. But, you know, I got to finish that lightsaber. Just saying. Important.
First things first.
Yep. But, buddy, have we missed anything?
Just your hellos and goodbyes.
Well, hell. Oh, let's say goodbye. Listen, be sure to check out Cruiser streaming on Twitch. The link's right there in the show description. I'll try to stream here and there if I can. Mm-hmm. Find our YouTube channel. It's I'm sure it's The Bad Motivators.
Yeah, it is. We got that one.
Check out patreon.com/TheBadMotivators. Check out T Public and Redbubble. Follow the show on Twitter, @Bad_Motivators. Or don't. I don't care.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sweet man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
The Bad Motivators.